Good evening, everyone. We'd like to welcome all of you to this very special service here in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. It's a very special service. I would also say, though, for the folks who belong to the congregation, it's a very sad service. And therefore, we come tonight praying for you, praying that the Lord will bless you and encourage you, that the Lord will make it a memorable night for the folk here in Londonderry, but that the Lord's blessing will be known. And if we know the Lord's blessing, then he helps us deal with all the issues that come before us in life, good and bad. He carries us through them all. And I'm conscious that for some, it might be a very difficult night. But we're praying for you, and we have prayed, that the Lord will bless you. He has blessed you down through the years, and we're looking to him tonight to be one of our number, to make it a special occasion for Reverend Brown, his wife and family, and for all the folk here, and for all the friends. Thank you all for coming. We're going to commence our service by singing Psalm number 103. And whenever we hear the introduction, we will stand to sing. And let's sing our very, very best. Very glad to welcome the Reverend Wesley McDowell along to the service tonight, a friend of the Reverend Brown's. The Reverend McDowell is going to come now and call upon the Lord, lead us in prayer, and ask for the Lord's blessing upon our service. Reverend McDowell.
could just take the opportunity before I pray to say just a brief word about Mr. Brown. So you'll grant me that, will you? Okay. it means I can sit down and enjoy the rest of the meeting. But I do understand that the name Ian is the Scottish equivalent of John. And it is true that as far as the North West was concerned, there was a man sent from God whose name was John or Ian, if you like. And I was thinking, just coming up tonight, about words that were said of David when Jonathan was covering for him, saying that he was at a feast when Saul sought him. And Jonathan said of David, "Thou shalt be missed." And that will be the case of the Reverend Brown here. He's been a very influential presence in Londonderry, and he has done a great work in Londonderry. Very difficult area, as I know myself and some others in County Londonderry know, but Reverend Brown has stood forth faithfully and fearlessly for the gospel, and I certainly wish him the very best. I sat under the ministry of Big Ian in the martyrs, so did this man here, and there's another Big Ian going to the martyrs, and now that I'm retired I might get down to hear him at times, but it's a tremendous privilege and a tremendous opportunity for our brother, and certainly on behalf of my wife and myself, we wish him the richest of blessings in his future ministry. Let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the life and labours, the ministry, and indeed the message of thy servant, Reverend Brown. We thank you, Lord, for saving him. We thank you, Lord, for the talents and abilities that you've given him. We thank you, Lord, that they were not wasted on the world, but they were given unstintingly in thy service. And we do pray, Lord, that you'll help him and his family in their new sphere of activity in the days to come. What a challenge. And yet, Lord, we know, as you've said in thy word in another connection, my grace is sufficient for thee. But Lord, as we pray for thy servant, we pray also for this congregation. And Lord, they have grown to love thy servant and grown to lean upon him. And Lord, we pray that you'll make up the balance. Lord, we think of that word in the psalm, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Mm-hmm. And Lord, we thank you that you do make up the deficit. And Lord, we pray that you'll do that for the congregation here. And Lord, that you'll help them and guide them. And Lord, very soon there'll be another man sent from God. We look to thee, Lord, for these things. Undertake for the meeting tonight. Bless all that take part. And Lord, give us a sense of your presence. May we have this evening in this house a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. These things we ask in and through thy name. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed, Reverend McDowell. We're going to turn now to the order of service, to the second hymn, number 93. "I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men." Reverend Brown was saying with the Londonderry air being the tune of this one, and the next hymn, There's a Green Hill Far Away, penned here in the Maiden City. He has selected these hymns because of their close attachment to the city, and he has had a close attachment to it as well, and they're very relevant to him. We trust the Lord will bless them to all of us as we sing these words now. Number 93, and we'll stand again to sing. this point in our service, I'm going to invite Mr. Hugh Mann to come to the pulpit, and Hugh is going to sing to us and ask our brother to come just now.
Our service for God has been barren and dry, and barren it shall remain until we are blessed with fire from on high and sign of abundance of rain. There's a sign of abundance of rain.
Thank you very much indeed, Hugh, for singing. And I trust the Lord will bless you for your ministry and song here on this very special occasion. I've been asked to mention to the congregation that after the service, there will be some video clips taken. And that will just be for comments, your thoughts on the night and thoughts on the Reverend Brown's ministry and wife and family, and just a little opportunity to show appreciation. So, especially if you're a visitor and you'd like to feature on that, I don't know if you like to feature on those sort of things or not, but if you're a visitor and you'd like to feature on it, tonight is the night when you should do that. And the Londonderry folk, there's not just as big an urgency for you to do it tonight because there'll be other opportunities for you. But for those who are visiting, if you want to branch out into acting and all the rest of it, tonight is your opportunity. And somebody might see you and become a film star in years to come. I don't know. But if you want to do that, you'll see the video camera after the service. And please take the opportunity to do that. At this point, there will be greetings from a couple of our ministers. Just before I ask them to come, I'd like to thank you all for coming and assure you of a very warm word of welcome. It's great to see you all here. I'd like to thank the Reverend Brown for asking me to come to lead this meeting. We have had a friendship that goes back a long way. As a matter of fact, I'm going to shock everyone here, and you're probably going to say he's a minister and he's a liar. He's not telling the truth at all. But the first time we met, it was our anniversary actually of coming together to study at Whitfield College of the Bible. And I know you think that was about 16 or 17 years ago. Isn't that right? It was actually 30 years ago this September when the Reverend Brown and I started Bible College. 30 years. I know. You can look at the top of my head, you'd say, you're dead right, it was 30 years ago, maybe more, but no, it was 30. So that's 30 years of a friendship, which I deeply appreciate, and that's why I'm glad I'm here. Reverend Johnson, he's here because he's a close friend, and he's going to speak later on. He just wants to make sure that Reverend Brown gets down close to Newton Ards so he'll have a fellow minister to talk football to. The two of them like their football. Reverend Smiley, you know why he's here? He's the inter-moderator of martyrs. He's here to make sure this service takes place and he gets them out of here and gets them down the road to Martyrs and gets them in there. So that's why he's here. He's not here for any other reason. Why am I here? When I tell you this, you'll probably want to lynch me. I'm married. That means I've got a mother-in-law. I know, one of them. She belongs to the Martyrs. She voted to steal your minister and take him down to Belfast. And she told me, get up there and make sure you get him down the road to Belfast. So we're all here, basically, to nab your minister. So please, forgive us and let us have a nice tea and get out of here safely. But we're really glad, honestly, we are glad to be here to share with you on this occasion. But a couple of the brethren are going to bring greetings. First of all, the Reverend Smiley, our deputy moderator, and then after the Reverend Smiley, the Reverend Lindsay Wilson, the minister of Castlederg. So Reverend Smiley first, and then the Reverend Wilson.
Well, if Reverend Murray thought he was going to get lynched, I'm definitely the prime target to get lynched here in Londonderry tonight. But we are delighted to be here and to say on behalf of our presbytery, the fellow officers of our presbytery and moderator myself, and certainly congratulations to Reverend Brown on his ministry here over all these years. We thank God for all that has been accomplished here in Londonderry over, what, nearly 26 years now. And we thank the Lord for his blessing upon him and upon his wife and family. And of course, when you come to this point, and you have been over the past number of weeks, of course, in the congregation here, coming to terms with the loss of your minister, not only a preacher, but a pastor and a friend. But then, of course, there is not only the loss, but there is also the gain. When you say, well, how could we be gaining when we're losing our minister? But the gain is knowing the will of God. This is the will of God for Reverend Brown, for his wife and family, and for you as a congregation, that this is the Lord's will at this time. And of course, while we rejoice in the past and in all the blessings that the Lord has given to you here in Londonderry through the Lord's servant's ministry, we also look to the future. Because the future is in God's hand. And God's plan and purpose for our lives is wrought out, not only for the minister, but for the people. And how God works things out in accordance with his own plan and will from all eternity. And so we look to the Lord to provide an under-shepherd here for the congregation in Londonderry. And I know the Lord's servant has been here for a very long time. That's not going to be easy to just, as it were, one man moving out, another man moving in quickly. But maybe it'll happen sooner than you would have thought it could have happened or could happen. I trust that that will be the case and the Lord will guide and direct you in the days to come. I was thinking of a verse just today that has been a particular blessing to my own heart in recent days. And it's a verse I believe that is appropriate even for Ian and for Gillian and for the family as they go, and for the congregation here as well in Londonderry. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, will help thee. Yea, will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41, verse 10. I believe that is not only for the Lord's servant, but for the people here in Londonderry as well, that the Lord will bless them. And I can say tonight that certainly with great anticipation, Martyrs are looking forward to Mr. Brown's arrival and looking forward to next Friday night. And I trust you'll all make your way to Martyrs Memorial next Friday night. I'm even giving up one of my days of my holiday to come to Mr. Brown's installation. Just reminding of that tonight. Because he said to me the other day, you're on holiday, you coming to my installation? And said, I'll think about it. No, I did say I would be there. And I will be there, God willing. But I trust that the Lord will bless him and the Lord will bless you here in Londonderry. And certainly the thoughts of our presbytery are with the Brown family and with, of course, the congregation here in Londonderry. I was thinking just how long have I known Ian? Well, just reflecting upon it today, it was actually when I was assistant in Lisburn all that time ago. It was this young man, tall, as tall as myself, maybe even taller than me, came in to play the organ in Lisburn one Sunday night, and I was the preacher. I'm sure he regretted having to listen to me, but nevertheless, he was there playing the organ, and that was my first acquaintance with Ian Brown. And of course, we've become firm friends over the years, although he was at one end of the country, I was at the other, but he was a great stalwart in the Government Morals Committee. I was chairman for many years. He was by my side helping me, and of course now as clerk of presbytery, and over the years many other things we have stood shoulder to shoulder. And I'm looking forward to having him much nearer to me, of course, in that sense, but even though he does support a bad football team, nevertheless I hope they get better in the new season.
Well, I think there's been a few details given away about Mr. Brown, or my friend Ian. He started college 30 years ago. He was ordained here about 26 years ago. So I was only ordained 13 years ago. So I imagine that our brother's about 13 years older than me. Now, I don't want to tell you his age tonight because that wouldn't be fair. But honestly, I turned 50 just last month. So if your maths is any good, then maybe you'll work out. You've got about 2 years. And then he'll be back as under moderator. As I thought about tonight, a verse of scripture, or a phrase, 1 Thessalonians 2:9 came to mind. Think about Ian, labouring night and day. If ever there's a man that worked in the service of God, it's this man. I have seen it from many different avenues. And at one stage, when I was deputy moderator, he was clerk. He's still clerk. I've passed on, so to speak, and this man's here now. Not in the limelight as clerk, but with an awful lot of hard labouring work, and always done with great grace. In the Government and Morals Committee, he was there before I joined it, and we both left that just last year at the same time. And it was probably at that as well I noticed that it was day and night. When I would get an email or a text or some sort of communication, thank the Lord it wasn't always a phone call. It could have been 3 or 4 in the morning when it was sent. This man laboured night and day. But it wasn't for the sake of labour. And it wasn't for the payment. And he knows that. This man laboured night and day because he loves the Lord. And that's why I count it a privilege that he's my friend. A man who is motivated not by possession or power or anything like that, but he wants to see the gospel move forward for the glory of God. The Consider Christ campaign, which very close to my heart, I can take no credit for it. I still remember the presbytery meeting when there was all sorts of discussion about the buses that had been set up in London. There probably isn't a God, so enjoy life and get on with it. And there was all sorts of discussion as to whether we get into some sort of a slogan campaign, and it would have just been slogans. And Ian said, sat quietly for a while, and then he said, why not use this as an opportunity to spread the gospel? And that was the start of the Consider Christ campaign. Many souls have been saved as a result of this work. Thousands have been blessed. Hundreds of thousands have been reached with the gospel. And that continues to this day. On the 17th of August next, if you can come down with us to Portlaoise, well, just let me know. But There are now 250 people who are supporting that work by coming down. They can't all come on the same day, but the team grows month by month. And it was the vision of this man to set that in motion. And we thank the Lord for that. It could have been so easy. I just think back to that presbytery meeting. It could have been so easy when we heard about what Richard Dawkins was endorsing. It would have been so easy for us to get a slogan and plastered over buses and just start a war. But better to preach the gospel and better to reach the lost for the Saviour. So I'd be sorry to lose a brother from, he's the northwest, I'm the west. Only 30 miles away, he's now going to be most of 90. We'll miss him in this area, but while petrol remains at a reasonably affordable level, we'll get to meet up. But I trust that the Lord will bless you and your family in the days that lie ahead. God bless.
I'd just like to thank the Reverend Smiley and the Reverend Wilson for addressing us and bringing those greetings. Hymn number 98 in the order of service, "There is a green hill far away without a city wall." As I'm a visitor here tonight as well, is there to be an offering during this hymn? Yay or nay? No? No. You'll really sing well tonight. That's unusual in a free Presbyterian church. I see no offering. Unless you are mad to give one. But if you're not, we'll just sing "There is a green hill far away." And since there's not going to be an offering, to change your positions, we'll stand as we sing it. And let's remember the death of Christ on the cross and praise the Lord for it as we sing. Going to ask if Mr. Scott Mackey would please come to the pulpit. Our brother has some things he would like to say and some things he'd like to do. So our brother, if you could just please come now and address the congregation.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're all very welcome again this evening to come to enter our church on behalf of our committee and on behalf of our session committee and congregation of this church. I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight. To those who are visitors, we extend a special welcome to you, and we trust that you will feel at home this evening amongst us. Also, I'd like to welcome our visiting ministers. We have Reverend Ron Johnston behind me, Reverend Samuel Murray, and we have Reverend Smiley as well behind me, and you're all very welcome. We have other ministers in our congregation, and we'd extend a special welcome to you as well. So you're all very, very welcome tonight, and I'm pleased at such a very good turnout tonight. In December 2012, we had the pleasure of celebrating the Reverend Brown's quarter century of ministry in Londonderry. We were anticipating many more years under his guidance. Little did we know at that time that the Lord had other plans for his labours. Reverend Brown may have arrived 26 years ago, but Gillian hadn't. She was already resident here. I wonder if she had been an influence factor in Mr. Brown's decision to accept the ministry here at this time. I wonder, did you have? Well, we shall never know. Now, we can't go into that now. But Gillian married a man who had a calling rather than a job, giving her responsibilities that we will never fully appreciate. I'd imagine that many times a phone call has led to upheaval of the family plans, and there have been many lonely nights as Mr. Brown attended meetings miles away. Gillian has been part of the fabric of our church, unassumingly at the heart of church life. Gillian, thank you. We will miss you. Reverend Brown has consistently displayed a strong interest in the young people of our congregation. We all know that, and we're very thankful for that. But you know, I often wondered how much of this was his attempt to hang on to his own youth. I'm not so sure. Now, maybe he'll answer that when he gets his chance to speak. I don't know, but maybe he will. I'm not just so sure now. But anyway, Joel, Aaron and Chloe have in more recent years been stalwarts in the youth fellowship, and I am well aware that they will be greatly missed by the others for their presence, example, and fellowship. Mr. Brown has been a faithful and diligent servant of God. He's an excellent Bible teacher. I can personally say that series such as those on Elijah and knowing God, I remember during our prayer meeting he gave us booklets about, and there was many messages on knowing God. And then we had a quiz sometimes. The quiz may not just have been so pleasant, but the messages were very helpful, I can tell you. Really very helpful. They have been a source of blessing, challenge, and encouragement in my life. And I personally thank you for your help in my life. Further, when people were ill or in need, the Reverend Brown can be relied on to give pastoral care. He was also involved, himself in the wider work of the denomination as clerk of presbytery, shaping the Consider Christ campaign, as already has been alluded to by Mr. Wilson, serving on the Government and Morals Committee. More recently, he has commenced lecturing on historical theology at the Whitfield College of the Bible, where he took over from Dr. Paisley for the first time. This is a sad occasion. We are bidding farewell not only to our minister and his family, but to people who have become dear to us over many years of dedication and service. Up until now, their parting has seemed distant or unreal. But tonight brings us to the reality of the situation. Reverend Brown, Gillian, Joel, Anne and Chloe, you will be greatly missed. We pray that God will grant you his help, blessing and power as you continue to serve him in his will. I hope you will cherish the following verses from Numbers chapter 6 as you move from this part of God's vineyard to Martyrs Memorial. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put thy name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Mr. Brown, I would like you to come forward now and accept this presentation. Please. Mr. Brown is, on behalf of the session committee and congregation of our church, I would like you to accept this small gift of our appreciation for your labours in the Lord amongst us these 26 years. And just as well now, Mr. Brown, you were commenting to me about a bag here that I had in my hand as you came in the door. This little bag here. He says you're running about carrying a bag. And I says, well, I there's something in the bag. So this bag was given to me, and it's from Londonderry or Derry City Council. I don't know whichever you want to call it. But it was given to me to be presented to you from the City Council of Londonderry.
Thank you very much. Do you wish me to put it on display?
Yes, if you wish, yes.
Well, the tie is probably an improvement on what I've chosen to wear tonight, so I have a bona fide Londonderry crested tie.
Thank you very much for your attention.
He's leaving me to the bag now and running, pretending his fingerprints aren't on it. And the coat of arms of the city of Londonderry. That is again very much appreciated. Thank you. Just give me a second. You know the way when the shop assistant is going very slow and very particular in all that she does, and you're out of time and your car parking fine is about to appear on your windscreen, and you're thinking, hurry up, will you please? And they still have you waiting there. It is difficult to accept that this day has come. A farewell from Londonderry after 26 years here. Until this afternoon, I avoided writing any notes whatsoever as to what would help me and I would use in the meeting tonight. I, like some, I suppose, knew the farewell was coming very well. Over the past month, since the call had been received, and we knew this day was coming and had been announced, but facing up to an actual day of departure has been difficult. Some of us last night at home were looking through some old photographs because you're finding things that had long been lost behind. We don't have sideboards anymore, but that was the kind of word that was coming to mind. And photographs had come out, and they spark off many a memory of events that have happened over the years. Of course, 26 years ago, I was given the opportunity to come and minister in the city. And as then, just to clear up any confusion caused by the doctor who was up here a while ago, wouldn't like to be one of his patients going through a serious operation. He might put in a liver instead of a heart and leave you flopping about there. But I was given the opportunity as a 22-year-old, fresh from college. May have seemed back then to some like a formidable challenge. But I genuinely think that I was too young back then to appreciate the kind of challenge it may or may not have been. I will be forever grateful to you for giving me this opportunity. A chance as every young student coming out of college, completing the course, wants to have a chance of getting their feet onto the ladder of gospel ministry. A chance to grow a little wiser over the years through the process of making mistakes and not being penalised for those mistakes. A chance to exercise what is the passion of my heart, to preach the eternal truth of God to those who still are living in God's earth, to stand and to proclaim Christ as the only answer to the human need of salvation and satisfaction. And of course, over the years, the Lord has greatly helped. And I don't, even though I've made reference there to getting my feet onto a ladder, I do not consider personally going to the Martyrs' Memorial as putting my feet on some kind of higher rungs on that ladder. Not much more than a year after my arrival here, I took a wife. Snatch has been the word that's been used tonight, from the congregation. And within a relatively short period, our three children were born. Londonderry, therefore, is virtually all that they have known. Apart from their more recent excursions to Belfast for the purpose of study. But Londonderry remains their loyalty. I am reliably informed that should the annual sports night occur again, as it has done for the past number of years, should it take place here in 2014, then my family wish to be considered. You can stop listening here, Reverend Smiley. Not for the Belfast, but for the Londonderry teams. Many events have been pressed into the last 26 years. And yet it seems impossible that the whole 26-year period has passed. No matter how we calculate it, it is a huge chunk out of anyone's lifetime. Given the fact, especially, that none of us can predict anything that may or may not happen tomorrow. I'm quite confident that as we rummage around the house and pack further items, come across more photographs, we'll be reminded again and again of treasured time spent in Londonderry. My pastoring is about people. And I would want to place on record tonight a tribute to the members and the friends of the congregation in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. You've been loyal and supportive. I can't begin to imagine how painful a process it's been to listen to me for over a quarter of a century. Yet you've done it. Your kindness has been shown throughout our period here. And I must acknowledge that the comments, the good wishes that have been expressed over the last number of weeks since this call to Belfast surfaced, those comments and good wishes have been most touching. Now, you've heard tonight you have an opportunity to register those comments and good wishes on camera. I hope you don't shy away from the task. I recognise it will be a task. Not everyone will want to be a budding film star, but it is an opportunity, and I trust that you will take it. Most people have to die in order to hear good things said about them. We always count it a privilege when still alive. Some good things are said about. So it will be a delight to us if you can take part, however briefly, maybe two of you together, maybe three of you, squeeze in there and play off one another. Then when we play the video back, when we have these withdrawal symptoms, it will encourage us, or maybe double the flood of tears. In 2 Thessalonians 2, the verses 19 and 20, the apostle speaks of his relationship with and feelings for the church at Thessalonica. And I can say concerning my relationship with you, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing,
Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. The strength of Samuel Rutherford's desire about his little congregation that he served in Anwath, Dumfries and Galloway in Scotland many, many years ago, his desire can be gauged from these words. Fair Anwath, by the Solway, to me thou still art dear, even from the verge of heaven I drop for thee a tear. Oh, if one soul from Anwath meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. It is not easy to leave. I posted a comment on Facebook back on the 8th of July, and in part I said then, I know the Lord has given clear direction to move on. His grace is forever sufficient. But it is proving extremely difficult to pull myself away from the people whom I have come to know and love over 26 years of pastoral ministry. For those who can throw your mind back 11 years ago, it wasn't going to be easy when a call came then from our Crossscar congregation. Obviously, otherwise I still wouldn't be here. I felt led to refuse that call and have never regretted that decision. The Lord spoke clearly at the time, and that's what matters. Principally used the words that are expressed in Ruth 2 and 8. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast. Should I have received the same message on this occasion, once again, I would have been more than happy to stay. But God's way must prevail, or else we become a burden rather than a blessing. When interest from the martyrs began to shape itself into a call, I led out the words of Psalm 5 and the verse 8 as my prayer, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, make thy way straight before my feet. I believe I was looking for kinks and twists in the road. Those would have been excuses to plead confusion, contrasting signals. It cannot be safe to move forward, the way is not straight. I've been following, as you know, from our latest set of Bible studies, and we came to number 13, no comment on that. Leave the superstition to others, not to us. But we had the message number 13 not long ago, and it was essentially how to read the Bible. This year I've set myself a higher bar than I've done in previous years. I don't want you to think that this is what I've always done. Usually I followed McShane, this year I followed Professor Horner's Bible reading plan. It involves reading 10 chapters per day. And we put that kind of guidance in the notes that we give out that evening. Getting a call, a leading from God, I wanted that to appear not by looking for familiar favourite verses where I could go without a blindfold, but rather they must appear in my regular Bible reading. Initially, the Lord brought to my attention a series of men who in the Bible were sent and went. For example, Noah, Moses, Philip, Ananias, Peter. But seeing others being sent and going is not a call in itself. Then came a key piece of leading in my life through this daily Bible reading program. Verses that had really meant nothing to me personally before. But they did when I read them this time, and you'll understand, they came with the force of a sledgehammer, I guess. Romans 15:23. But now, having no more place in these parts. Verse 32. that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. Supported these were by many other scriptures. We'll not go into the detail of that, but for example, Acts 23:11, the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Then on one significant day in this process, three passages landed on me. 1 Peter 1:13-16. Then Matthew 4:12-25. Then again, it had come around in this Bible reading plan very quickly. Book of Romans 15:22. But now, having no more pleas in these parts, I cannot do anything but to submit to the will of God. After all, I preach and have preached for 26 years that you should follow the Lord's leading at all times. No matter what the circumstances are, that's your number one priority. Go where he sends you. And I can't preach and not practice. In Psalm 103:21, we are reminded that I am a minister of his only when I do his pleasure. For you in Londonderry, there is life after Ian Brown, and plenty of it. I pray the Lord will encourage you, direct you to a minister of his choice, and under that minister that he will richly bless you. When we settle into our new home, at the moment looks like being around the start of December, so you may have to put up with the boring side of us scooting around Londonderry for a while yet. But when we do move there to the Belfast region, let me say that you are all welcome to come and call with us, hopefully not on the same day. Although the stress of that will be more my wife's than mine. I'll chat with you, and she'll probably drive off to the supermarket in a panic. But if you want to arrange a bus tour and come down and take us in, you can call on at Exhibit Brown's, that'll be fine. Do keep in contact. I know that's a frivolous thing that most of us can say, and then we drift off and maybe don't meet again or keep in contact. Some may speak against Facebook after what I put in the magazine last month. I can't really do that right across the board. I find that to be a very valuable tool. It does let me see what you're doing and let you see what we're doing. And I trust that through that medium and through others, that you will keep in contact. And of course, we're going to see you all next week. And remember to place your very nicest comments on video tonight or when you get another opportunity to do it. Now, when we do a children's story, normally we have a little quiz at the end of things. I'll miss those in Easter, I'll miss those in Christmas as well. I'll miss winding you up. And I don't know how others will cope with me winding them up. But we have little quiz at the end of these children's stories, and then we give out a prize. Well, the last one we did was next to my last Sunday preaching here. So we have drawn the prize. And do we have Miss Olivia Mackie here tonight? And I know we don't. Do we have any relatives of Miss Olivia Mackie here tonight? If we do, would the closest relative we have, so that the close one doesn't fob it off to somebody else, please come and receive this, and you can applaud them as they walk on behalf of their little girl. I will say this one thing in closing. It is rather sobering and brings you right into touch with reality to look down as I have done and see children in the congregation today. And consider that 26 years ago, whenever I came here, parents like as has just come up in the shape of Louise here, were the little children sitting down beside their mums and their dads in the pew. And if ever I need to remind myself, you're not as young as you like to feel, then this is one thing that does it. But thank you for supporting us over the years. It's been a blessing and a privilege to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Scott Mackey, and also the Reverend Brown. And we do trust the Lord will bless him and his family as they depart from this place and go to the place that God has called them to. Now I'd like to ask if Miss Myra Miller would come to the pulpit, and also the Reverend Brown's wife, Mrs. Gillian Brown.
It's my good pleasure, Gillian, to give you this gift tonight. And it's tense with sadness because we're losing you. But we hope and pray that you'll be happy in your new work. And we do thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all the hard work you've done for us in this city and in this church. And we do hope, Lord, and pray that the Lord will be with you in your new work and that he'll prosper you in the Lord. And we're going to miss you so much. And we know, Lord, is with you, and bless the boys. I don't know who I'm going to slag now once they're gone, because I give them a very hard time. But anyway, that's how it is. And if I could find this gift, I'd give it to you. But I don't know.
Keep it up and do right. I don't know
what it is. Which one is it, Miss Scott? Scott, which one is it? Come up, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much to all of the congregation.
Okay, there.
Thank you very much indeed, Myra. Poor Myra, you know what she said to me there? She said, I made a bit of a hash of that. Myra, you couldn't have done it better. It was very personal and much appreciated, and I'm sure Gillian really appreciates the gifts. And those kind words, they were very kind and very thoughtful. So you did an excellent job, and I want you to be assured of that. And I trust the Lord will bless you so. Now, I would like to ask if three folk from the church, David Docherty, Lewis Rutherford, and Gemma Dick, would come to the pulpit, and also Joel, Aaron and Chloe. So three from the church and Reverend Brown's three children as well, please.
Okay, I didn't think I was going to have to talk, and I think I'd rather have Dad talking than me. But thank you very much, everyone, for the gift. As Dad said, this is home, and it will be sad to leave. We've always had a good time with the young ones here. I always used to think whenever Dad would ever get a call that we'd be going to a church that had a big youth fellowship, I thought that would be very exciting to be part of a big youth fellowship, and we're going to a church that has a youth fellowship that's half the size of the one that we're in now, so it's not quite what we've been, what I thought of it would be whenever I was younger, but yeah, it'll be sad to leave everyone here. I've enjoyed our time here. It probably hasn't really sunk in yet until we've been sitting tonight and heard everyone talk, but thank you very much for your friendship, and you'll not be forgotten.
Just to reiterate what Joel's saying, we've been up in Belfast the past 3 years myself, and you go to the Belfast house, but you come home at the weekends, you do. It's become a bit of a family row down there at the front, and none more so than Snotty. I think he's got a house key, and that bunch of keys for our own house, because he's in it as much as I am at the minute. But no, it's been a privilege. This is home to me, and it's always going to be home, and we're going to forget one day. And I want to leave what you promised to Myra. You're losing five from your team up here, but we're going to continue to be loyal up there too, don't worry. Thank you.
I'd just like to repeat just what the boys have said and just say thanks to everyone for being here as we've grown up. This will always be our home no matter where we are. And just thanks for all your support and all your prayers for us. And just for always being that extended family that we'll always have. Just thanks again. Even thanks for all coming out tonight as well. Thank you.
That was excellent, wasn't it? It's very well done. And I want to just commend the Brown family. To have the three children up here, able even to pass on a word of thanks and appreciation. That was special, and I hope you realise how special it is. Very special when your family can do that, and I trust God will bless them. The last person I have to call upon tonight,
Joel, Aaron and Chloe, each a small gift to remember us by. We will miss you all from the Youth Fellowship and from church, but we know distance won't break the friendship we have built over the years. And as Mr. Brown has said, there's always Facebook, so we'll be nosing on that always. If I can ask Alan, Simon and Laura to come up to present Joel, Aaron and Chloe with a small gift.
Thanks for your speech.
Also, on behalf of your fellowship, we would like to give a small gift to Gillian to say thank you for all the times you've opened your home to us and provided many a supper on the spur of the moment. There were probably many of the times when you thought we would never go home, as I do remember playing a board game until 1 a.m. on one particular night. I think I got a lot of slagging for that after that. If I can ask now Sarah to come forward to present Gillian with the gift, please.
I wasn't going to speak, but since my children have done, I wish to say thank you very kindly for the gift, for the friendship, for the prayers, for the support of this church. I came, I was one of the congregation, and then I met my husband, as you know, and we married, and I became the minister's wife, and that was new territory also for me. And I wish to thank all those who have been here in days gone by and have gone on to glory for their families and for the support that has been given. Thank you so much for tonight. Thank you.
Last but in no wise least, Reverend Brown. On behalf of the Youth Fellowship, past and present, I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you for we've appreciated all your leadership, teaching us in coming by faith and growing in faith. You have made the youth meetings a welcoming and relaxing place for learning and friendship and fellowship together. And I can say the Youth Fellowship Christmas dinners with Reverend Brown have always been an eventful one. Let's just say we never return to the same place twice. But in all seriousness, may God bless you and your family in this new chapter in your lives. We will miss you, but we know it is God's blessing towards you. Can I ask now Sam to come forward to present Mr. Brown with his gift from the Youth Fellowship.
Well, I don't think it was just the restaurants that we may not have revisited. Maybe the youth weekends were sometimes like that too, but they are memories that I carry with me and thoroughly enjoyed. In fact, it may be a good thing in some day in the future to have a reunion of the young people that came up through the fellowship at different times. That'll encompass quite a few people, past and present. And we could, you know, reminisce on how it was right through the years. That would be a lovely thing. But thank you very much for your gift, and again to all of you. My wife mentioned their very appropriate comment, even those that have gone on to heaven from this congregation over the time that we've been here, who we, of course, counted our friends, and one day will, by grace, see again. Thank you.
That brings to an end the presentation aspect of this special occasion. And I want to give a very warm word of welcome to the Reverend Ron Johnston, and I'm going to ask the Reverend Johnston to bring the word of the Lord to us tonight.
Could I just say I feel very honoured and privileged to be able to bring the word tonight. And knowing the Reverend Brown for a number of years, now believe it or not, I was at college with the Reverend Brown. I was. Well, I have to be honest, we'd already been missionaries for some years, so we're a little bit older, just in case you're wondering. But it is a great joy. We're turning to Philippians chapter 1, the book of Philippians chapter 1. Just as you're turning, again, we have known the Reverend Brown for a number of years. We appreciate his fellowship in the ministry, also as clerk, when I was moderator, and even over the years in various aspects of the work. And farewell is always a difficult time, although with Mr. Brown's long ministry here, and I believe he was the second minister, at least he wouldn't have the problem of one minister I heard about at his farewell. A night like this at the door, there was a very elderly lady, 100 years of age, and he said to the minister at the end of the farewell service, "You know, we'll never get a preacher as good as you." Of course, the minister was, you know, pleased, but being humble, "Oh no, you will. No young man will never get a preacher as good as you." "Oh, you will, you will." "No, I know what I'm talking about, young man. I've been 100 years of age and there's been 8 ministers here in my lifetime and each one's always been worse than the one before." So Mr. Brown didn't have to have that. Or seeing Reverend McDowell here, there was a minister having a farewell, decided to go full time into chaplaincy in the prison. So in his last message before he left, he took as his text, "I go to prepare a place for you." That where I am, there you may be also. But anyway, it is a joy to be here. But let's just read some verses from this book, remembering, of course, that Paul had formerly ministered in the church at the city of Philippi. This is quite a number of years later. He's writing back to the church. He tells them in chapter 2 that he had sent Timothy to them because he wanted to know how they were doing. And Epaphroditus also had gone back and forward and brought news of this church. And he's writing to tell them that while he's lying in prison, the thought of his ministry in this church brought him great joy while he was there incarcerated in prison. So keep that in mind as I read the first few verses, Philippians chapter 1. "Paul and Timotheus," that's Timothy of course, "the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons." We would say today that's the session, committee, and members. "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." Could we just stand for a moment and ask the Lord to bless this reading of his word to us? Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the reading of this scripture. And Lord, truly, as we've read it, it describes the emotions of the Reverend Brown and his family. It describes the emotions of a pastor to the congregation and vice versa, the love and the fellowship. Lord, as we look at these verses for just a few moments, do Lord guide us and bless us. May tonight, while there is that note of sadness, Lord, may we be able to praise thee and give thee the glory, for it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. In verse 3, Paul wrote back to this congregation where he had once ministered. It's probably 12 years after he had left, and yet he writes back to this church that he loved. And in verse 3, he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." The relationship between a pastor and his congregation is unique. It's difficult to describe. But surely this is one portion in the New Testament that does help us to understand, and you tonight to understand, the emotions that are going through the mind of Mr. Brown this evening, and will be in his mind and his wife and family's mind in the days and years to come. In verse 4, he speaks about his joy. In verse 7, he speaks about his love. I have you in my heart. In verse 8, I long for you in the bowels. That's the Romans looked upon the emotions as in the belly, the inward part. He's saying, look, my whole being is moved. When I lie awake in the prison cell and I think back to the time I ministered to you, I thank God for you and I love you and I'm moved inwardly when I think about you. Now, Paul was in the capital city now. He was in the capital, Rome. He's writing to this congregation in Philippi. Philippi was a city that was built by people who had been planted there. What I mean by that is, it was a Roman colony. The main citizens of that city in Philippi were not from that area. They had come from Rome, many of them soldiers who had fought in the Roman army, but they were Roman citizens. And they had come and had settled there. Philippi, I was thought of this passage, it was a walled city. That reminds me of a certain city. It was famous for its walls. It was a garrison town. It was a colony of Rome in that area to be a colony, a garrison. It had its walls. It was also a seaport. Sounds very similar to a certain city I know. Londonderry. But we'll not go into the history. You know a lot more about it than I do. How the walls were built and near the seaport and so on. And soldiers over the years have been garrisoned here. And Paul had come here and preached. And then he had left. And he's writing back years later. And he speaks about his joy. Now, I know it's been emphasized that tonight is a night of sadness. And I'm not taking away from that. But listen, sadness and joy are not opposites. They may be in the dictionary. But spiritually, they're not opposite. The shortest verse in our English Bible is Jesus wept, but actually the shortest in the Greek is rejoice evermore. It's possible to have sorrow and yet to have joy at the same time. And tonight ought to be a time of joy. Joy in what the Lord has accomplished through the ministry of the Reverend Brown. Joy for the fellowship that you have one with another. Joy in what the Lord has done. When I think of farewells, I think of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. If you just turn over, there's an interesting verse there. The late Willie Mullen, through whom I was converted through his ministry. Sorry, it's not chapter... Let's see, of the wrong. Oh, yes, it is. Chapter 4, verse 8. He was visiting in the home of a brethren man staying, and they asked him to read the scripture, and Willie Mullen was reading down chapter 4, and he came to verse 8. Finally, brethren. His brethren friend stopped there, Willie. I want to tell you my testimony. I used to be in the Church of Ireland, but I didn't like it, I left. And then I joined the Methodist, and I didn't like it, and I left. And then I joined the Baptist, and I left. Finally, brethren, I'm scriptural. Well, Willie Mullen said, too bad. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And turn just a moment to show you this. Willie Mullen said, turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 13 and verse 11. This is what it says, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Farewell. Of course, that's taking the verses out of context. You know that. But I want you to notice 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice. You say, that's not what it says in my King James. It does. Because that word farewell is exactly the same word translated joy in Philippians chapter 1. Maybe you're saying, well, how can that be? Well, do you remember the Savior when he rose again the resurrection morning and he met the women at the grave? He said to them, hail. It's the same word, farewell. And you say, well, he just met them. How could he say farewell? Well, maybe you're familiar that in Hebrew, when Jews meet, they say shalom. When they leave, they say shalom. Or in Arabic, salim, salim. The word that's used or translated as rejoice or joy or translated farewell, translated all hail or hello, greetings. It's the same word, same word. Makes it simpler, doesn't it, to say to somebody hello. Maybe you get confused or you're greeting them or saying goodbye. But it's the same word, I assure you. Finally, brethren, farewell. And so I would say tonight, yes, there's the sadness. And I know the congregation is sad and the Reverend and Mrs. Brown and family are sad. But yet tonight there ought to be a note of joy. And Paul, years later, when he thought of this congregation, he had joy. Now, just very quickly, I noticed in chapter 1 of Philippians, five times he uses the word gospel. Gospel. What is the gospel? You know, sad today there's some people don't know what the gospel is. The gospel is the objective facts that Jesus Christ came into this world, lived that righteous life that we couldn't live, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again for our sins. That's the good news. That's the gospel that the Reverend Brown has preached these 26 years. Preached the gospel. Let me go through these references very quickly with you in chapter 1. Because I believe the secret of the growth and continuation of this work in Londonderry is because of you as a congregation, your love for and loyalty to the gospel of Christ. And the real secret of the blessing that the Reverend Brown has been to you is because of his love for and loyalty to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27. Look at that first reference. I'm not taking them obviously in the order they come in the chapter. Verse 27. Look at the last words. For the faith of the gospel. I've just described it. The faith of the gospel. Oh, there are churches, I'm sure, even in Londonderry, certainly throughout our land, and they'll talk about the Saviour, about Christ. They maybe even talk about his life, what a wonderful teacher the Saviour was, what lovely parables, how he had compassion on people, and all that's true, but they don't preach Christ and him crucified. Are you not joyful tonight that you've sat under the ministry of a man who preached the true gospel of Christ? That ought to be something to thank God for tonight. In verse 5, he thinks back from the first day. And Paul could think as he lay in the prison, I remember the first day I came to Philippi. And Lydia, I preached the gospel to her and she was converted. And then I was enabled to tell the gospel to the jailer and he was converted. And he thinks back over the people that had been saved under his ministry. And that brought him joy. Reverend Brown will be joyful as he remembers many of you in this congregation. A few weeks ago, I had occasion to be in a part of the province where I was minister in the late 80s, and I met a man, I hadn't seen him for a few years. I remember the night he came to Christ. I met his wife, was there too, went over and spoke to her. I remember the night she came to Christ. I'll tell you something, that was so joyful to meet them again. And to know that they're still going on with the Lord and the Free Church in that area. That's what Paul's talking about here. The faith. The faith. We thank God for the faith of the gospel. But look at verse 5. I told you it wouldn't be too long in each. Verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel. Isn't that something to be joyful for? These 26 years of fellowship you've had with each other. I know we talk about let's have fellowship over a cup of tea. And it's good to have nights of fellowship together and eat meals together and have outings together. I do think that's very important. But the fellowship Paul's talking about is a lot deeper than that. A lot deeper. It's a special partnership is the meaning of the word. Communion, fellowship. It's special because it's in the gospel. You see, as a Christian, we can have friends with all kinds of people. I have friends who are not saved. I pray they will get saved, but I count them as close friends. But I can't have spiritual fellowship with them. Because they haven't submitted to the gospel. This is a fellowship in the gospel. In chapter 2, verse 1, he speaks, this fellowship is in the Spirit, if any comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God is... it's he that ministers in a congregation. How we need to remember this. The Spirit of God molds a congregation together. When we meet together on the Lord's Day and at other times, the Holy Spirit is the one who presides, who speaks through the teacher, the Bible teacher of the Word. Because the same Holy Spirit indwells every member of the congregation. And as we come together, we're coming together to form the church, the temple, the body, in which the Holy Spirit dwells. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us one. If I had time, you could look at it later in chapter 4. The word fellowship is translated in a strange word, communicate. See, this church sent Paul went on to be a missionary when he left this church, his missionary journey. And this church sent sacrificially money to support his work. In fact, Philippians is a letter back to this church thanking them from a missionary. And the word is translated communicate. In other words, they were sacrificial. This fellowship was special. It was of the Spirit and it was sacrificial. And I know you in Londonderry over these years have given sacrificially to God's work. And thank God for that. And Mr. and Mrs. Brown have given sacrificially to the Lord, serving the Lord by serving you. Serving the Lord by serving you. No one really knows the burdens and the heartaches and the sacrifice that a caring pastor and a caring pastor's wife go through. Now notice I said a caring pastor's wife. Are you not joyful tonight that you've had a caring pastor? And a caring pastor's wife among you? Of course you are. For the faith of the gospel, for the fellowship of the gospel. And then that Paul had joy in verse 7, if you look at it, he talked about the defense of the gospel. You know, he had joy when he thought about the fights. Now, not among the church, but the fights in which the church engaged. You know, there's some evangelicals today and say, you know, the gospel doesn't need defended. It's funny, Paul didn't think that. There is a battle for the Bible. There is a cause for which to contend. There is a fight for the faith. We are to guard the gospel. And your minister over these years has stood firm as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And when Christ's name was blasphemed and attacked, you don't need me to tell you that the Reverend Brown was in the forefront of the battle to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in years to come, he will remember how you stood with him on many of occasions. And that'll bring joy when you think of the battles that you've had over these years. Now, it may not have been too pleasant at the time. It's difficult to take your stand. You can be laughed at. You can be ridiculed. But, you know, later on when you look back, you can say, oh, I remember that night. I remember how we stood together. You know, a couple of years ago, I was speaking at a certain event over in Scotland. My two oldest boys came with me. And when we got there, we were introduced to a young man. And I was told he was a captain. He had been a captain just back from serving in Iraq. And my two oldest boys had served in Iraq at different times. So I was with them and I introduced them to this other man. I'd been told who he was. You see, for the next 10 or 15 minutes, I just might as well have whistled. My, they were they'd never met, but they were talking, what about this regiment? And what weapons did you use? And they're on. And you know what it does? There's three, well, they weren't too old. They were just a lot younger than me. Three soldiers getting together. You know, any of the soldiers know what it's like. The comradeship. Just that togetherness. And for years to come, Reverend Brown, in the quietness of the night, we'll be able to think back, thank God for those fights that we engaged in Londonderry. And thank God for those people there that stood with us in the gospel to fight for the gospel. In verse 12, Paul's in jail. And you know, I don't have time to turn to the verses, but it's really amazing this, if you follow me. In chapter 2, he talks about Epaphroditus and really himself too, but it comes out clear in Epaphroditus, who nearly died because of a stand for the Lord. And he said Epaphroditus was really troubled. He was really sad because you heard he was sick and he was worried that you were worrying for him. You follow me? He was so sad because you were worrying about him because he was so sick. And Paul, in a sense, wrote this letter because he was concerned that the church in Philippi were sad and so sorrowful that Paul was lying in a Roman prison. So he's writing back and he's saying, members, don't worry about me. Don't be feeling sorry for me in jail, because, and it is what he says in verse 12, these things have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. God's worked them all out. Don't worry about me. See, he knew that they loved him and he loved them. He said, look, don't worry about me. It's happened for the furtherance of the gospel. And you know that the Reverend Brown has been faithful in these years in the furtherance of the gospel. Whether preaching and evangelizing here in the city or the area around about here in the county, the Consider Christ campaign has been mentioned. He's of a burden for the furtherance of the gospel. That's a great thing, the furtherance of the gospel. Now, Reverend Brown is moving to a new sphere of labour, moving to the capital. But you're still together in the furtherance of the gospel. He'll be seeking to further the gospel here. You live in Londonderry, I in Newton Ours, these brethren in other places. We're all involved in the same task, the furtherance of the gospel. So you have the faith of the gospel, the fellowship, the fights for the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel. Last one, verse 27 again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. What about the future? What about the future? You see, the future of the congregation in Londonderry, your future as the people of God here, is linked to the future of the gospel. Because you're a gospel witness. So Paul writes to these people he loves and he tells them, look, live as becometh the gospel. It's interesting, back in verse 6 of chapter 1, he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's saying, I know in the future you'll go on in the gospel. You know, it'll give the Reverend Brown the greatest joy and pleasure to hear reports of how you're going on with the Lord and how the gospel's become more precious to you. And how you're involved in outreach for the gospel. And look again at verse 27. Here's how you live as becometh the gospel. How do you live? That whether I come and see you, he wanted to come and see them, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. See, Paul talks about that later in chapter 2 as well. He says, I want to hear about you. And Mr. Brown and Mrs. Brown will want to hear how you're getting on. That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving, agonizing together for the faith of the gospel. Listen, we must maintain our unity. Paul labored for this church. He prayed for this church that he loved. Sadly, in fact, this church is, all commentators believe, it was his favorite church, even though he went and founded other churches. Very little wrong in the church at Philippi, but in chapter 4, he had to write the two ladies, Eudeus and Syntyche, and he said, your names are written in the book of life. You've both been labourers with me in the gospel, but ladies, be of the same mind in the Lord. In other words, there were two women who weren't getting on with each other. Now, sometimes it's not women, it can be men. But he has to write and say, look, be of the same mind in the Lord. Stand together. Think of the gospel. Dear women, think of how Christ died for you in Calvary, and think of the importance of preaching Christ, and what a message that is to all of us. Eudeus and Syntyche. Harry Arnside in his commentary said you could pronounce it Odious and soon touch it. But anyway, that's not how you pronounce it. But he's praying for unity and he's longing for unity. And so tonight, yes, it has been a sad occasion and is a sad occasion as you bid farewell. But yet, I'm saying, I'm not contradicting what's already been said. In the midst of the sadness tonight, there's a joy. That's the meaning of the word farewell in the New Testament. When people said farewell, what they were saying is rejoice. And tonight, you can rejoice at the end of this service. Are you not glad you belong to a church like this? Are you not joyful that you sat under the ministry of a faithful preacher of the Word of God? Are you not glad that you've come to know the Brown family? Are you not glad that they're not going as far away as Paul went, hundreds of miles? Aren't you glad the Reverend Brown isn't leaving to go to jail? You never know, he might end up there someday, but anyway. Well, we've much to be joyful for tonight. We've much to be joyful for. Stand together. Tonight's a time when we reminisce, we remember, we think of the blessings, but we're not to sit in the barracks. We're to be good soldiers. We're to get out into the battlefield and stand for the Lord. So at the end of this meeting, just don't say, well, we've enjoyed it. It's been good to reminisce. But it ought to be a time right now to rededicate ourselves. That what has happened tonight to the Reverend Brian and his family, to every member, I'm going to rededicate myself to live for the preaching of the gospel. I'm going to redouble my efforts, if that's possible, or be keen to live for the Lord. If you're not saved, how can you go on rejecting the gospel? Make this a joyful night by coming to Christ. So make it a scriptural farewell tonight. Make it a scriptural farewell. Rejoice in what the Lord has done through the Reverend Brown's ministry. And we can rejoice by faith for what the Lord is going to do through his ministry. And we can rejoice tonight for what the Lord is going to do in Londonderry congregation and in your life. May God help us to praise him.
Thank you very much indeed, Reverend Johnson, for preaching the word of the Lord to us tonight. And I trust God will bless those words and write them upon all of our hearts so that we'll remember them in the days that lie ahead. Our closing hymn is number 720. If you have the order of service, you'll see it on the back of the order of service. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Let's stand to sing this hymn together. remain standing, I'm going to ask if a close personal friend of Reverend Brown's, Mr. Phil Moffat, would come now to pronounce the benediction. Ask our brother Moffat to come to the pulpit now and pray. And also, as he pronounces the benediction, to return thanks for the supper. Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Moffat. Let us all pray. Eternal, most gracious and heavenly Father, we come to thee this night in and through the all-prevailing name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast been one of our number, that thou hast been pleased to bless us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And we thank thee for the life and ministry of the Reverend Brown. Thank thee for the day when thou didst move in his heart and soul and bring him to newness of life in Christ. We thank thee for the day and for the hour when thou didst call him forth into the gospel ministry. We thank thee for those years of preparation in the Whitfield College of the Bible, and for the day and hour when he was called to take up the charge and the work of God in the great city of Londonderry. How we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast been pleased to bring along a partner in life for him. And Lord, thou hast blessed them both and the family circle. And Lord, we just thank thee for the faithful years of gospel ministry in this house, and how thou hast been pleased to edify the church of Jesus Christ, to build up thy people, to encourage thine own blood-bought people. And yet, Lord, we just pray that as he would go from this place, that thou wouldst go before him and prepare the way. We thank thee, Lord, for every remembrance of him, his wife, and his family. And we ask that thou wilt be pleased to anoint him afresh, endue him with power from on high, and grant that thou wilt forever keep both he, his wife, and family in the centre of God's will, God's plan, and God's purpose. Bless the witness and those of thine own people in this house. We pray, Lord, that in the fullness of time, thou wilt show them the man of thy choice. Amen. And so, Lord, we just commit and we commend ourselves now to thy care and to thy keeping. We thank thee for the food that has been prepared, for the faithful hands that have prepared it. Bless it to our bodily use. Bless us in thy service. And take us to our homes in safety, for we ask these things in the Saviour's precious and in his worthy name. Amen. Folks, something I've been asked to mention to you now just before you go for your supper. If you recall, those of you who were here some months ago at the 25th anniversary, at the end of the supper, the cake was cut. But sure, most people had finished that stage and hadn't even any more tea left in the cup to wash it down until some missed a piece of cake. Tonight, we're on the ball. The cake will be cut at the start so that at the end of the supper, you can all enjoy a piece of it. And there has been a special cake prepared to mark this occasion. And I think it's going to be brought in here, Scott. Is that correct? Yes. It's going to be brought in here, and the Reverend Mrs. Brown will cut the cake. You can get your photographs, like the last time, if you missed any last time, get them this time. And they, and the only other thing I've been asked to say, after the Reverend Mrs. Brown cut this lovely cake, you're to go out through this door, go across underneath the gallery, take whatever food you would like, and come back in this way. I was told to emphasise visitors first. So the Londonderry folk, I was told to say it by a Londonderry man, so there you are. Visitors first, so we'll get all the best stuff and we'll leave you something, don't worry. But we'll do that after the cake is cut. I hope they don't drop it. It's two men carrying it in, the looks of things here. I presume some of you have cameras, so get them ready. Reverend Mrs. Brown, you're going to come to the front. And be nice, actually, for the children as well, and you can get a photograph of the whole family. Will that be all right? So, it's coming to the front now, and the family's going to come up. You get your camera ready.